Hello and welcome to The Big Fight. I'm Nidhi Razdan. Earlier this week, the state of Rajasthan introduced a bill essentially to tackle the problem of lynching. The bill makes it much more difficult now for people who indulge in these crimes. It calls for life imprisonment if the victim dies, and the conspiracy to lynch will also be treated as a crime equal to the lynching itself. It is unfortunate that in 21st century India, as we call ourselves a rising power, we've actually are having these debate on mob killings. The data is worrying. Factchecker.in, for instance, shows that in 2018 alone, there were 93 attacks in India motivated by religious bias, and 75% of these incidents, minorities were the victims. In 2018, 30 people were killed in these attacks, and that was the most in a decade since 2009. More than 300 were injured. The largest number of such attacks happened in Uttar Pradesh, followed by Bihar. Over the last week, however, the discourse has been dominated not by the debate on the law in Rajasthan and whether that will help, but by open letters on different sides of the ideological divide. Is there less outrage over the lynchings themselves and more outrage at those who protest against them? Let's go straight across to our panelists this evening. And as always on The Big Fight, we begin with 1 minute opening statements from all our panelists. I begin with Imtiaz Jaleel, Lok Sabha MP from Aurangabad with the AIMIM. Imtiaz, the first punch, your 1 minute starts now.
Well, it's a very unfortunate, as you said, in a country where we are talking about launching Chandrayaan and going to the moon and all those things. We are talking about development and all these things. And on one side, the harsh reality which everybody will have to accept that in the past 5-6 years, the number of cases of mob lynching that we are seeing, and let me be very clear on this front, the list that I was reading through since 2015, September 28, when Akhlaq, the first lynching that took place, the mob lynching that took place, after that 99 cases. And it's not just about the Muslims who are being killed. The Dalits are being killed, a few instances of Hindus also being killed. So it needs to be condemned in the first place, not looking at the religion of that person. But why this is happening all of a sudden? Why this is happening? Well, as far as I am concerned, if there's anyone to be blamed, it's the government of the day that is to be blamed. Because after the elections, you can say Narendra Modi may be the prime minister of this country. He is the prime minister of everyone. He's not just the prime minister of the BJP. Okay. Everybody's prime minister, even my prime minister.
Your 1 minute
is
up. But
not condemning this incident is like something
that needs to be done. Your 1 minute is up. You get a chance to expand on that. Mr. Deshratha Nigam is with us. Your 1 minute starts now. The first punch from you, sir.
See, lynching is a serious issue. There is no doubt about it. But when I see a selective outrage, and when I see, you know, Gopal getting lynched, Ankit Saxena, Chandan Gupta, or for example, Gangaram Chauhan or Bharat Yadav, I don't see that kind of, you know, media outrage among the people. And there is that selectivity creates another kind of a reaction. And what we need to focus more than lynching is the causes of lynching. The causes of lynching are very, very important, because when you are framing a law, without going into the causes of lynching, say for example, cattle smuggling, cow slaughtering, and all those things, and then fake rumors on social media, suddenly rumors come up on social media, all those things are very important to actually check all these incidents of crime. It's a state subject, no doubt, and central government, it's not within the control of the central government. Central government can, you know, bring a model law. But there are states which are coming up. Manipur has already a law in place. UP has prepared a draft law on this. Supreme Court has given, you know, advised these states and the central government to come up with a law.
Okay. So looking at the causes, your 1 minute is up. I'm going to go to Vrinda Grover next. She's a senior advocate and someone who has looked at these cases very closely over the years. Vrinda, your 1 minute starts now.
I'll make two broad propositions, and I don't think they are inconsistent with each other. As has been said, that undeniably we have seen in the last 5 to 6 years, there is a rise in this particular form of hate crime, which we are calling mob lynching. People who are targeted, yes, they are across many classes, religion, but primarily the targets have been those who have been marked on account of their occupation, their diet, their food, their religion, which are markers of your caste or religious identity. It is not just a killing. It is a targeted killing. It occurs in a hostile environment. The question that needs to be asked, in my view, is the impunity for mob lynching on account of gaps in the criminal law, or are there other considerations? In my view, there are, even at present, enough provisions in the criminal law, from criminal conspiracy to unlawful assembly, to powers given to the police to control or disperse a mob, and therefore one can prosecute and secure accountability.
Okay, your time is up, Vrinda Grover. We'll come back to you because you made some important points there on the current laws. Mr. Bhaskar Ghosh of the BJP is there standing with you. Mr. Ghosh.
See, of course, I agree with all my panelists. The lynching is something which is very, very unfortunate incident since 2019. But if you see the lynching under the present circumstances, there are several provisions of law which is dealing with the lynching, though it is a state subject. The Section 223A, 153A, 153B, 585, and of course there is a judgment of Supreme Court, which is between the Sundar and state of Chhattisgarh. They have specifically told that it is the state subject and state should take all cares in order to protect the aggressions. Even Article 355 of the Constitution at the same time gives that authority to the state for duty of the states against external aggressions. So there are existing law, quite stringent laws are there. Only there should be a will of the state to implement the law, including the police, including the judiciary, including all agencies.
Okay.
And then, of course, this could be curbed.
All right. All right. Important points made there. I'd like to go across, before I open this up for the debate, to the Deputy Chief Minister of Rajasthan, Sachin Pilot, who joins us this evening via satellite. Sachin Pilot, you know, one of the arguments that has been made here just this evening on this program is that states and the center don't need separate laws to deal with lynching, although the Supreme Court had actually ordered that last year, and we're not seeing much movement as far as the center is concerned. But why did Rajasthan decide that it needed a separate law to deal with this when you do have existing provisions that could have done the same?
First, we have to acknowledge the fact that across the country there have been many, many instances of mob lynching. Now, this is actually a new development. It is not something that has been happening prior to last 4 years. And I think there are enough laws in our statute to deal with it. Law and order is a state subject. But the specific act of mob lynching has come to light in the recent past, and the incidences are going unabated. In fact, the people who are accused of these crimes are very rarely punished. And once the news is off the headlines, it just subsides into the background. I think the Rajasthan government and we all collectively made up our minds that we have to give a very strong message. Enacting the law is only one part of the solution. Other is execution. And Nidhi, frankly speaking, a government is judged on how it deals with the crime once we have the government structures in place. It's not about passing a bill or enacting a law alone. It's also important for the people, the society and the community to know that if you deviate from the law, yes, you should be taken to task, but who should be that agency? It should be the police, the judiciary and the government of the day. It cannot be a group of people who decide to deliver justice there and then. And that's exactly what's happening on basis of suspicion, race, gender, caste, religion, language. People are being discriminated and beaten to death. So therefore, this law will actually, I think, safeguard the interests of those people who are the most vulnerable. And it's important for the country and the people to know that there are governments that are sensitive to this. The courts have made it very clear that they're against any of these instances of mob lynching. Therefore, we're acting A, in response to that, and B, as a political party, we have committed ourselves that we can't accept this in a civil society and we must act and act promptly.
The question, though, is, Sachin Pilot, how will you ensure the implementation is there on the ground in letter and spirit? Again, all laws are actually, you know, meant to have a greater good that they aim for. But it ultimately comes down to policing and what happens on the ground when a situation is presented before authorities. Therefore, is it enough to say we've introduced a new law without ensuring that the implementation will take place?
I think any law that is enacted is done with the best interest in mind. It's not for or against a community, a religion, even a sentiment. I think it's there to ensure that there is counterbalance to the kinds of incidences we've seen, whether it's Jharkhand or Delhi or Rajasthan or whatever. I think the act is important, but it also gives teeth and it gives a sense of warning to those elements who have indulged in these activities before. But I take your point that it is the policing, it is the precautionary measures, and it is the delivery of justice to those who have actually victimized people. I don't want to overreach and talk about the judiciary, but the government is very sensitive about this. The fact that this is our budget session and we have introduced this bill 2 days, 3 days ago, and we hope to pass it hopefully on Monday, I think it will give a sense that the government is sensitive to the needs that have arisen, because this wasn't the case 5-10 years ago. And we must legislate according to the new environments that we are faced with. It's a very sad day. In fact, the fact that we have to think about making a law against mob lynching in the 21st century in any state is not a happy thought. But it has to be done, because there are these instances, and we must A, acknowledge that, and do the best that we can to mitigate and eradicate such instances.
Sachin, finally, on this whole debate about selective outrage, we, as I was pointing out at the beginning, have seen the debate not focus so much actually on what states need to do, how systems need to be in place to deal with this, but more about, open letters to each other. You had eminent citizens, talking about Jai Shri Ram becoming a war cry. And then you had the counter letter on the other side by those who, said that this was a false narrative that was being created. Are you getting a sense, though, that we're missing the point here, that it's ending up becoming this whole finger-pointing exercise where we're outraging more over everyone else's outrage?
I think you're right to some extent, Nidhi, because I think what's happening now is that the gap is so wide. Everyone's taking very strong and extreme positions. It's very easy to criticize, but then the noise is hollow because it lacks content. I don't want to take sides on this issue, but I do believe that there is a middle ground. There is acceptance of divergent views. That is the beauty of our democracy. Our republic is strong, not because of the governments that we've had, but because of the strong society we've had for hundreds of years. But people should be free to express themselves. Name-calling and extreme positions, ridiculing the others, defaming, denouncing. I don't think that's the path that a country like India in the 21st century needs to take. But coming to the point whether are we just reacting and hollow voices are being heard as opposed to real sentiment and content and delivery on the ground, I think it's important. We need to do better than what we're doing now. The narrative has become so confrontationalist that very little comes out of it. And by discrediting the other party, I don't think we gain very much. But I do believe there should be freedom of expression, speech. People must be able to say what they feel without hurting the sentiments of others, without breaking the law. And that environment is only there when there is a large-hearted, accepting government of the day that says, fine, you can disagree with me, but let's debate, let's discuss, let's talk. And that is really where you see how sensitive our government of the day is. And I think people who are ruling the country today need to be able to open themselves up to criticism here and there. It doesn't weaken our democracy. I think it just further strengthens it.
Right. Well, Sachin, thanks for joining us. Let's see whether this new law in Rajasthan actually makes a difference on the ground. Here in the studio, we have with us the former Chief Election Commissioner of India, Dr. S.Y. Qureshi. Dr. Qureshi, do you think new laws are the answer? Do you think separate laws to deal with lynching are the answer? What do you think?
I don't think so. The laws are adequate. And the point is implementation. The violation is happening in the eyes of, in front of the eyes of the police. They're either grinning or they're just looking away. They're not taking action. Laws are adequate. It is enforcement and implementation. And Mr. Pilot was saying that all laws are passed with good intention. Some laws are passed as a red herring, just to fool the people. Look, we are making a new law, now keep quiet. What about the laws that existed? Why none of them were used? It's a question of political will, then professionalism. These are the two things we need to address.
Well, Mr. Nigam, you talked earlier about what makes you angry, and that is a selective outrage, as you said, that all cases of lynching need to be looked at and not, just selectively about those, about the victims of one particular religion. My question is that why are we so focused on the outrage of those who do raise this point about minorities being attacked? Because the numbers show that they are greater in number, though that is one fact, and those are very targeted killings.
I have the numbers,
but
don't tally with your numbers.
Can that outrage also be channeled for the actual lynching rather than at the people who are upset and unhappy that this has happened?
When selective outrage takes place, it defeats the purpose when you want to solve the problem, because then there will be a reaction, there will be tu meh meh. When you don't see on one side of, you only see one side of the coin, you don't see the other side of the coin. I was just seeing the social media, there is a flow chart which the so-called liberals use. It just takes 30 seconds to say that. When mob lynching takes place, they find out the religion of the mob, whether it is Hindu or a Muslim mob. If it's a Hindu mob, then find out the caste of the victim. And then you go whether find out whether he's a Dalit or a Muslim or a upper caste. When it is a upper caste which has happened in the BJP state, there is an intense silence. When it happens in the other state, BJP states, then there is a huge outrage. Non-BJP states, they remain silent. Now, if it's a Muslim mob, there is an intense silence by these people. It's there, all there recorded. Then, you know, this is something which is troubling. If you are trying to find a solution to a problem, let's not attach a religion to it. I have the entire list of the other
but
side
there are people
of the
who are
numbers.
Attacked, but there are people who are attacked for their religion and their caste. That's
both
an ugly
sides.
Reality of
both
India.
Both sides.
Yes.
Both sides and
yes,
the numbers.
But minorities are particularly vulnerable.
No,
you're
no,
right.
No.
All
the,
sides.
The
but
majority,
minorities.
I have the list of 250 people of the from the majority
Nidhi,
community.
One second.
Majority
one second,
community which who have been lynched. And I can give you, these are from newspaper. But there was no outrage. That is where it pains me. If you have to find a solution, let us see both sides of the coin and then find a solution. As Mr. Qureshi said, I agree with him. It appears, you know, in India, there is a knee-jerk reaction to find a, you know, quick fix solution to a problem, not actually going to the root of the problem. Just frame a law and everybody thinks it can be taken
Vrinda
care of.
Yes.
There
so
are
let's,
existing...
Let's talk about the real issues and why those. Why is there impunity. I'm not a votary for a new law, as I've said before. But I am a votary for coming to the crux of the problem. Where is that? Political support for the accused. Institutional bias in administrative and police officers. I am currently appearing for the victims of the Hapur lynching. One has survived, one is dead. What was the FIR lodged? They turned it into a road rage. Two writ petitions in the Supreme Court, and we try and get partial course correction in investigation. Videos are released by the attackers. Till date, despite 10 letters to the investigating officer, SP, the inspector over there having been made in charge by the Supreme Court, they are not putting the videos on record. Where is this coming from? That is precisely the issue. The guidelines laid by Tehsin Poonawalla have a premise. The premise is that administrative and police officials, public officials, will all act in accordance with law. That is not happening today. And there is political sanction for hate crime, which is targeted at Dalits and Muslims. And therefore, I will not draw an equivalence between these things. Forget the outrage. What is the responsibility of the government? And the insurmountable hurdle to justice today is the covert and overt support of the political class for these lynchings.
But what about Mr. Nigam's point? Imtiaz, let me ask you, that the outrage is selective. There was the case of a Gaurakshak just a few days ago in Haryana who was killed. And, you know, perhaps he has a point that it doesn't evoke the same kind of outrage in the national media that another kind of lynching does. Does he have a point there?
Let me first thank Mr. Nigam. He said 250 such killings have taken place. In fact, I just had the figure of 99. Yes. If it's 250, that's all the more alarming and that's all the more very serious issue. It's not the question about what the media is doing, whether they are highlighting, whether some people are supporting against Airto Skender. What is the government of the day doing? I totally agree. This wouldn't happen if the government of the day is serious on this issue. When 14 lynchings take place in a state like Jharkhand, the Prime Minister of the day needs to tell it in clear terms to the Jharkhand government, though it's a state subject, but as the head of the family, as the Prime Minister of this country, it's the responsibility of the Prime Minister to tell to the Jharkhand government that, yes, we are concerned about what is happening in Jharkhand. 14 lynchings have taken place in the past four years, and this is a serious matter. If he had conveyed in that way, then perhaps the Jharkhand government would have taken it seriously. Instead, what the Prime Minister is saying, he is trying to defend the Jharkhand government. Lynchings have taken place and he is saying
why blame the
Jharkhand government for that? Whichever state is these incidents are happening, everybody needs to condemn. And Nigam sir, when he started naming the number of Hindus. Well, let me tell you, I am going to condemn the killings of the Hindus as well as Muslims.
Absolutely.
They are all Indians who are being killed. It's not a question of Hindus or Muslims or any Dalit who is being killed. The question is why this is happening in the past 4.5 years. Why so much after 2015? If he's saying 250, it's all the more shameful for this country when we are talking so big about development and all this talk. And what the country is witnessing now is, You can't say anything about let whatever is happening. Don't write a letter to the Prime Minister. Don't issue a letter to the media criticizing or condemning. The moment you do that, there's a bunch of people who are as good as those rogues who are on the street killing people trying to defend these lynchings. It's shameful on their part. The way that we have witnessed in this past few days, if some people, credible people of this country, stood up and said, the Prime Minister, it's your responsibility, please make sure that these lynchings don't happen. And there comes another group who starts criticizing and condemning them because they are being selective. That's the most unfortunate part that we have witnessed.
Mr. Nigam and then Mr. Ghosh.
No, I can understand your very good speech, which is there, but it is slightly devoid of the reality that we face on the ground. And in the last election, we saw that the Dalit and Muslim vote bank, which was there was a breach in it, and they started voting separately. Now, the entire effort is again coming, the Muslims and Dalits. Every time the word used being used, I can name you 20 incidents when Muslims, you know, lynched Dalits, and they were, for whimsical reasons, for no reasons, the Dalits were killed by Muslims. It has to be condemned on both sides of the coin. That's what I'm saying. The effort today is by politicians to, you know, merge Dalit and Muslims as a vote bank and to breach that, you know, the line that was already breached. And this election also, the caste divide has been overtaken in the elections, if you look at in the North India especially. And the effort again is, you know, Muslims and Dalits are being lynched by Hindus. That kind of a narrative which is being built is something very dangerous. You say lynching is taking place, you condemn everything, don't name anything into it. The moment you start naming, you start doing injustice to the others who have also suffered.
Are people not being targeted for their caste and religion?
No, the fact is, it is across the board. I'm not saying, let's not be very specific about it.
Are we in denial, Mr. Qureshi?
Yes. No, there is nothing. I have the data with me. If you want,
so
it can be given.
I'm happy
so,
to give
so
it.
Therefore,
I have
so,
NCRB.
So therefore, it is,
out.
So therefore it is across the
NCRB
board.
I wish you would get NCRB data, which for the first time in the history
it is
of India
across
has been
the board.
Suppressed. That, as lawyer here at Aghast, how you can suppress NCRB data?
Mr. Qureshi.
You know, my experience in all my years in the civil service has been that the biggest cause of any problem is our denial. We are always in a denial mode. That cannot happen to me. My child cannot be a drug addict. My child cannot do it, and that is how the problem is spread. And here also we are in a denial mode. No, no, our
no,
community
sir.
Will... Just a minute.
No, sir.
Please
I
let me speak.
Both I'm sides not, of the coin have to be
no,
seen.
No, no, no. The, both sides of the coin is actually diluting the issue.
Don't politicize
if,
it.
If 99% of the people are being lynched for saying, if you're not saying Jai Shri Ram,
six
and no,
cases
no,
out
on,
of seven
on
have
the,
been
on the
con- fake.
Let me finish.
Six cases.
On the contrary,
yeah.
No
then
Muslim has ever
answer.
Said, say Allahu Akbar, I finish you. Therefore, we say, you know, they're all the same. It is not, because we have to distinguish, because some phenomenon is there. We have to identify what it is. And who are the people
So, a false equivalence. You're saying it's a false equivalence.
It is a
false equivalence.
Let me answer in
quickly,
10 seconds.
Yes.
You know. Six cases that turned out from Unnao, Aligarh, Kanpur, and Cooch Bihar, saying that they were forced to chant Jai Shri Ram, turned out to be false.
And what about the ones that weren't false?
Yes, they have to be punished. Nobody is denying that. And the matter is sub judice before court. And in the Tabrez's case, his name was Sonu. Sonu could be anybody's name. And it was specially asked, and then there were issues of Jai Shri Ram that had arisen, and those reports are there. And therefore, I don't have the luxury to prejudge the entire issue. That is has to be decided. Here what happens, the moment it is there in the media, everybody gets into an outrage and already pre-decides the entire issue. All those Jai Shri Ram cases have turned out to be fake, and that is where we
firstly,
have to address
no,
causes of the problem.
All the Jai Shri Ram cases have not turned out to be fake.
No, no, I'm saying
majority. And we have,
majority.
Unfortunately, videos which I don't want to play out here again.
Videos, authenticity has to be established.
And
you
the reports that he's
it.
Saying
no, no.
Their authenticity has to be established.
Yeah.
I am making a very precise accusation of institutional bias against the police force in India. It has been recorded in judgments by the courts.
But Mr. Ghosh, on the point that Vrinda made earlier about state support, you know, for these acts. For instance, Jayant Sinha lynching the Jharkhand accused, or Mahesh Sharma going to the funeral and draping the national flag of the man accused of lynching in the Dadri incident, a clerk. What is the signal that sends to people?
Hiri, I think I'm thankful to all panelists that they are coming up with the facts and figures. But mostly we are concentrating on these two incidents, also told about the lynching in terms of the caste, creed and religion. The state I came from, I'm coming from West Bengal, There's another lynching which is
taking place. Can you answer my question first, though, about the ministers?
I'm asking. As it is a state subject, you mentioned a state subject. There, the state-sponsored political lynching is going on. That means you, if you belong to another political party opposition, then you will be lynched for one reason or the other.
That and political violence is not justified at any cost.
This lynching is a state-sponsored lynching. State-sponsored. The whole state machinery is sponsoring this particular lynching. And till date, after the Lok Sabha, there are 78 Karyakartas of the BJP has been lynched and murdered by one way or the other. There is in several cases of burning their houses, killing them and raping them, whatever it is. So, I want to say two things, that whatever Mr. Mahesh Sharma or Jayant Sinha has done, right? So, of course, this is not to support the lynching. Obviously, I can take the responsibility, but they have shown their respect in that way to the deceased persons.
They have shown their respect to the deceased person.
To deceased person. They were accused that he garlanded.
Later on. But the question is that second part was that what government of India is doing on that.
My question to you is, you haven't answered the question. Ministers and the government of India draped the tricolor on them, endorsed Mahesh Sharma and Jayant Sinha, or put garlands on those convicted, not even accused.
The Indian flag.
The objective is to, are we doing this post-mortem of the lynching case or your subject matter?
My objective is very simple. I am asking you very simply. The subject matter is what we deem it to be, which is that is there lynching needed or not? No, it is also that is the state condoning this? When ministers go and do this, does the state condone this? What is the message that goes out?
I am giving an example. When state sponsoring this lynching,
there is no point making a law and going and that is fine.
You have made an important point on Bengal. I am saying yes, but I am giving you two examples of ministers in the central government. Mr. Jayant Sinha, Harvard educated, who went and garlanded lynching convicts in Jharkhand and faced a lot of backlash for that. Did you agree with that?
I think Mr. Jayant Sinha must have given.
What is your view?
See, I don't think anybody
can. As an individual,
can.
Don't speak as a politician political party. As an individual,
please
say.
What are you going to do with the law when the government in place is going to endorse lynching? What is that law going to do?
No, this is not endorsed lynching.
Of course, Mr. Jayant Sinha has endorsed lynching.
Then you criticize the action of both these leaders.
What is the point of passing the law? The law is not what the letter it's written on. If the government is endorsing it,
if we are supporting or lynching, then we should not constitute a committee of 4-member committee to look into the matter and it is participated by this.
These are not committee members. This is a police investigation.
That's what I'm telling you.
We do not want BJP investigation.
If we support lynching, then we are not supposed to frame the committee.
You have sanctioned lynching.
After the Supreme Court order, we are not supposed to frame the
I don't think anybody has sanctioned lynching, but those two incidents are to be condemned.
Thank you. Mr. Nigam said it. You criticize and condemn the action of both those leaders.
Mr. Nigam is condemning it, and that's very important.
He's not the party.
See, the fact
is, he makes that distinction constantly.
When you are in a responsible post, and if you are holding a responsible post, this kind of a behavior is very unbecoming. I am very clear on it, and let us not, promote such things. Law will take its own course. No doubt, they were given bail. Those people, but ultimately the Supreme Court, they have been convicted by the first court, and I think we should be focusing on solutions here.
Well, having the state not
the problems we have discussed the problems. These are the problems, and I think how to if whether the separate law is required or not. In my opinion, there are existing provisions within the Indian Penal Code, which takes care of mob frenzy also, which takes place of mobocracy also, but they have not been implemented very well on the ground. So,
why?
Though there are reasons. There are reasons, no doubt about it. And this is an all India phenomena. Let's not make it BJP versus Congress here.
You are ruling most of the states.
No, fine. And this issue mobocracy has been there since very long, and it can be taken care of within the IPC. The framework, just to bring out a law as a quick fix solution may not solve a problem.
What is problematic with the narrative is, when you look at the letter written by the other side, the 62 who wrote against the original letter of the intellectuals who said, stop lynching against minorities, Jai Shri Ram is a war cry. Then you had stalwarts like Kangana Ranaut and others who wrote that counter letter. And they said, the constitution gives the right to dissent, but not to try and break India apart. Is that what those who are speaking out against lynching are doing?
Exactly. That is what I already said. The problem in this country now is if you criticize or condemn anything that is remotely connected to the government of the day, then you are trolled, you are abused. Even if today you write something on your social media page, whether you tweet that, you write a message on Facebook, look at the response of the people. Nobody is ready to accept the fact that, yes, this is something that is bad, which is happening in this country, and the country should stand as a whole. The unfortunate part is, as I am a first-time MP, when the first day when we went to the parliament, when we went to the Lok Sabha, 265 new MPs from across the country, the first day when they go, some of them were excited, some of them were nervous. And the first day you go there and you see a section of the MPs sitting there and chanting slogans of Jai Shri Ram and forcing everyone to chant that slogan. Is that the place? Is that the place to chant this type of a slogan? Today, for 4 hours, almost 4 hours, I was there in the parliament. What was the bill that was brought? It was about Jallianwala Bagh. Now, when you can bring a bill about triple talaq, and when you say that already laws are existing in this country, then why bring a separate bill? When you can bring a bill for Jallianwala Bagh, what was the bill all about? To replace some 3 members, whether we can have a leader of opposition or we can have a 3-member committee from the ruling party or the opposition party. For 3-4 hours, we are discussing about this. Isn't the responsibility of the government that, yes, if we can discuss about triple talaq, if we can discuss about Jallianwala Bagh, why can't we discuss about the lynchings also? Why can't we devote one day for the lynchings that are taking place?
Mr. I was Ali, thinking I only 99 cases have taken place,
but now I came to know 250
headed
cases.
By Mr. Amit Shah, now the Home Minister, let the 4 committee members submit the report and we will be discussing on the parliament.
Sir, please, for God's sake, the moment...
We are in a hurry. I'm sorry, you're not going to tell us, you're in power, Nidhi,
when this first incident took place, September 28, 2015, Akhlaq took place.
It was the responsibility
of Mr. Narendra Modi. The very next day, I had seen Narendra Modi's tweet saying that we played very well when India lost the final match. We played very well, good boys, you played very well. It's the responsibility. If he had conveyed that time, I'm sure from 2015 to 2019, the number of killings that have taken place, it would have stopped, or at least the numbers wouldn't have been the same.
Why you are not condemning the political killings in Bengal where the Muslims are...
We are condemning all the killings, whether it is of Ramesh or Kaushik or...
That is not included. We are condemning.
But the problem is, you want to condemn only the killings of the non-Muslims.
Number of 250 lynching. It should go up to thousands.
Very good. Please, Mr. Ghosh, number, tell the authority.
I want to ask Mr. Ghosh, why not have a debate in Parliament about it? Why not? Because that's what Parliament is for.
Exactly.
It is meant to be the voice of democracy, of people. Let there be a debate on the floor of the House.
Did we deny a debate in Parliament?
Yes.
No. Any statement?
Ask him, Imtiaz.
Yes.
We are not
allowing any member to speak about the lynching. The moment any member stands up to say about the lynchings that are taking place, the other side, the BJP side, shouts him down. He's not allowed to speak. The speaker doesn't allow.
Whereas this is the place where all these issues need to be talked, discussed, and should be in the list of discussion. It is out of the list. You cannot discuss. That is why they are shouting.
Please, you expect the BJP government of the day to accept this discussion, to accept this?
Of course.
There is a reason why Parliament has time that is set aside for members to raise, you know, pertinent issues, and those can be any issues that they want to raise. There is a reason for that.
0 hour, more than 4 to 5 hours has been dedicated for 0 hour questions.
But lynching is not important.
No question. Of course important, but that should be in the list.
Whenever we are talking about other bill,
you are talking about lynching.
Would you like to demand in Parliament that this should be listed?
Why don't you raise it?
It's a good idea.
This is a serious issue that concerns Dalits, Muslims, Hindus, everyone. Why don't you demand the government to have a discussion on this?
Would you like to see Parliament actually have a proper discussion on this, Dr.
I think the BJP should raise it. That is what Parliament is for. Serious discussion, and we have to find solutions.
Anybody should have a problem on discussion. There are zero hour where you can have a start question.
He's the MP and he's telling you his experience.
Please, sir, you can see the clippings. I know.
You move a start question, government is bound to reply to it and you can have a discussion.
Please.
Right now, that
first time. You are a first time MP. You are a first time MP.
No. I know the working of the Lok Sabha. I was a member of the Vidhan Sabha also. I was a journalist. I know the procedures very well.
Move a start question.
I know the procedures very well.
Move a start question. You will get a response from the
government. We have Professor Abhijit Chakravarti joining us. He's the former Vice Chancellor of the Jadavpur University, and he's joining us from Kolkata. And Professor Chakravarti, signed the other letter. That was the counter to the original letter by, those who spoke out against lynching. Professor Chakravarti, do lynchings not upset you across the board? Are you more upset by the lynchings or by the people who wrote the letter against them?
No. The main thing is that the people who have written the letter, let me ask you whether they are treated at all as an intellectuals. What we know that a person having intelligence and intellect, they can be treated as intellectual. But this person, they are very selective. There were many lynchings in the period of, say, left front regime in West Bengal. Nobody spoke. These people were silent. They were sleeping. Now, suddenly, they started talking about the lynching, etc., other things. And still, I think whatever we read from, I am not a politician, whatever I read from the newspaper, I find that many cases are pending and many investigations are going on. Still now no report is coming, but they have termed something that it is being lynched by the some people from the supported by the government, etc., etc., etc. And they are particularly very particular about the highlighting the problems of particular communities. India is a mix of communities. It's a mixture of culture, it's a mixture of religion. Now, particular highlighting somebody is very peculiar. And these people, when sometimes they become selective, in when the people in Kashmir, that is the Hindu Pandits, were lynched and there were so many problems, they did not speak anything. But now suddenly they started speaking many things and they created the trouble of this unnecessary some controversy also they are creating. So I don't think that what they are telling that is at all any weightage at this moment.
Professor Chakravarti, I take your point about selective outrage, and I'll get Vrinda to talk about that. But before that, is lynching bad? What do you think? Is lynching a bad thing?
Yes, obviously it is against law.
So are you?
But the law should take its own course.
Sure. But if it upsets you. Why haven't you written a letter about lynchings across the board, whichever religion it may be, and express outrage on that? Does it not upset enrage you enough that in this century, and you, sir, are an educationist, that in this century when we're talking about India as a rising power, that we're talking about mobs beating people to death? Has that not made you angry enough to write a letter about lynchings to whomever the target may
be? This is not a question of anger. It's a question of despair. It's a question that there are some problem, and that problem may come because of many reasons, and there is a way to protest, and the protest should be in the form of supporting the law. The police must be investigating, the government must be, they are unnecessary just highlighting some cases and creating some trouble. Yeah, I don't think it is a very practical idea.
Can I ask you, what do you mean by there is a way to protest?
Give any logic on this.
So what do you mean by there is a way to protest? Because we are still a democracy so far. So what does that mean? People have a right to write letters.
Democracy is there. We can speak about that. There is no problem in speaking. But particularly some cases, when there are many lynchings, these people did not speak. But now
I'm
suddenly
asking why
they have
you
taken
didn't
some
speak
cases
either.
And they are now shouting.
You should have spoken, Mr. Chakravarti.
Of the Kashmiri Pandit lynching.
You should have spoken about it. Why were you silent? You call yourself as an intellectual. Why were you silent all this time?
Why Mr. Ali is not having a question, Kashmiri Pandit lynching?
Yes, sir. We are condemning all the lynchings, all the killings in this country.
After you have been elected as an MP.
I want to ask this question to Mr. Chakravarti. He is an intellectual. He calls himself an intellectual and he has questions about other people.
First
intellectual capabilities. Why was he silent all these years?
One second, Vrinda. On the points
here?
Professor Chakravarti
I'm
made. On this point of selective outrage,
yes,
I come back to
that
point. That.
I'm speaking as a citizen,
yes,
as a non-intellectual. I have a right to selective outrage. I insist on that right as a citizen. I will raise an issue that I want to raise with the Prime Minister. You cannot dictate to me which crime, which offence, which rape, which caste
and
killing,
I have a right
which
to
atrocity.
React also to
you may. You may. Can I? But you will not interrupt me. You will not interrupt me, Mr. Nigga. You are scared of my argument.
One second, one second.
Brinda will not be biased. A citizen can be. You are scared of my argument and therefore you always interrupt me.
But
please, one moment, Professor. Professor Chakravarti, you are just
interrupting me.
Yes, I will hold. Please, Professor Chakravarti, intellectuals must learn to listen from mere citizens, okay? You can have your say. I have not interrupted anybody. If you're scared of my argument, build up a better one, but listen to it. A citizen is not in charge and is not holding an office and not responsible for ensuring that there must be fair play. I am aggrieved by a particular instance. How do I express it? In an appeal to the Prime Minister of India. Can there be a more civic, democratic action that a group of people can take? The other side feels that they are misreading what is happening and are contesting it. They have a right to do so, but not to say you are breaking the country. An appeal to the Prime Minister on anything is not an act of breaking. They want to silence us. I will raise the issues I wish to raise. I want to ask the only person.
I want to ask
the
one minute,
sir, you will wait for your turn when a woman is speaking.
No, it's not a woman.
No, no, you are trying to use your decimal parents. Power over me, and
no,
I will I use my no, decimal no, no, power
no, no,
over
no, no,
you.
Not at all.
No, no,
again,
you are doing that.
Again,
you
are biased.
You are holding power.
No, bias against power, sir.
Learn to wait. That's what people in government should do when they're listening to a citizen. When I am raising an issue, it is the government's job to ensure. And why is this happening? Please listen to what Mr. Nigam said. He insidiously slipped something. There is a justification. There is a cause for the lynching. Look at the cattle breaking of laws. There is no justification, no legitimization of any murder or lynching. That is why there is a feeling and a reality that the government is not neutral. That the government is not bipartisan, that the government is biased, and that is the political messaging that is going on. Citizens have a right to express anything.
Yeah. You know, Nidhi, to my mind, half the problem is in two words, what about? The moment I express my anguish about something, there are 10 people who will remind me of 10 other things. What about this? What about that? What about Nehru? What about 1857? Now, this, if we can banish these two words, the debate will become healthier and we'll find some solution. This is destroying the debate altogether. It's all whataboutry.
Let me answer that. You know, whataboutry starts when you select it. When you have, you know, just you start selecting and picking up as your own convenient examples, the whataboutry starts from that.
Did you have the same outrage for Akhlaq that you are having for, say, a Gopal? Honestly.
Yes.
It works both ways.
And I, on your own channel, I have condemned
it
very strongly.
I'm actually talking about the BJP.
See, I am representing a particular set of people and we all were against it. And it was investigated and the matter is still in court. It has not yet been conclusively proved. Yes, death has taken place. But nobody has the liberty or the luxury to, you know, prejudge the entire issue. Nobody can do it. Now, let me come to certain issues, you know. It's very easy, you know, to blame certain sections or whether it is me or somebody else or the Mr. MP, the first time MP, I would call him, and congratulations to him as well. But you have your grievance system available. There are weaknesses. It's an all-India phenomena. Writing a letter to the PM is fine. You could have written to the CM. It's a state law and order subject.
Why not? People have a right to write a letter to the Prime Minister.
No, right has to be exercised in a rightful manner.
Who to write letters?
If you do it for narrow publicity, you know, you could have written
to
those concerned states.
Why should they
the
write? I'm
people.
Sorry. In a democracy,
no,
we have a right to write a letter to the Prime Minister. Let me finish, Nidhi.
30 people from Bengal are there in the 49.
People you have a problem with Bengalis.
They should have first written. They did not see Bengal. What was happening in Bengal? It's fine, you write it. But balance it. I'm saying there has to be a balance.
That is the biggest problem. If it's happening across the country, his problem is, oh, so what? It's happening in Bengal also. That is his problem.
That's wrong interpretation. That's a wrong interpretation.
I want to ask one question to Mr. Chakravarti if he's still there.
Yes, he's there.
He says the lynchings have been going on for so many years. Why write it now? the question is, he has raised questions about the capabilities of these people who have written a letter, whether they are really intellectuals. So the next time, if any person wants to write a letter to the Prime Minister, Mr. Chakravarti, you will have to issue a certificate that yes, you are an intellectual. Mr. Chakravarti, if you are an intellectual, what stopped you from writing a letter to the Prime Minister in the first place, or write a letter to the Chief Minister in the first place? When people have written, they have not written as intellectuals, they have written as citizens of this country, concerned citizens of this country. You had no right to criticize those people. Your job was to criticize the killings that are taking place in this country, Mr. Chakravarti, and you are nobody to issue certificates of the intellectual capabilities of those people.
Professor Chakravarti, do you want to answer Imtiaz's question? Are you going to issue certificates of intellectuals for intellectuals who should write to the PM and who shouldn't? Do citizens not have a right?
No, that is not an issue. The question is, if somebody writes a letter on a particular issue on one fine morning, and earlier he has been sleeping since long.
That's all right.
They have a right to do that.
That's all right.
So obviously question will be raised.
Is it?
Why, Mr. Chakravarti? You should have written.
He has not, responding to the problems. Automatically questions will be
It's arrived. Meant to silence and frighten and intimidate and muzzle and you want to dare open your mouth.
One incident. During the Bihar election, there was intolerance. So-called intellectuals have shown intolerance. So it was intolerance throughout India. They have given up their awards and everything.
Yes.
The moment they have won in the elections, all intolerance vanished. Award wapsi was vanished. This is what he is hinting. This is a nexus.
What nexus?
I tell you, this is a nexus between
exactly
the political party and so-called
the elections.
So-called their mouthpiece of intellectual of the political parties in Bengal, in Purulia, when there is a death of
independent
madam,
I just returned your favor.
Second, in Purulia, when there was a case of lynching, one people was hanged, and there is a message that if you do the BJP, this will be your. This is lynching. Nobody protested. These so-called intellectuals never written letter, forget about the word of protest. And today they are talking about it.
Mr. Qureshi, is it some sinister nexus?
Yeah, may I
why is intellectual a bad word along with liberal and other things?
May I agree with both my friends on the right
this
and left?
This is a kind of pseudo-intellectual activity.
There we go.
A kind of pseudo-intellectual activity.
Okay, sir.
Yeah.
And
agree.
These intellectuals, they are selective. Sometimes they speak, sometimes they don't speak.
Dr. Qureshi.
You know, I was saying that I agree with my friends on left and right both. Let us not be selective. Let every lyncher be hanged within a month. Do they agree?
Yes, let the parliament pass the law.
First, you agree. And parliament may do what? Do you agree?
Yes,
I have no problem.
Do you agree?
And also,
hold on. Do you agree that all lynchers should be hanged?
What does that mean, Mr. Ghosh?
From this platform, we cannot say somebody is hanged within a month.
Can I just
unconstitutional?
I think he's using it metaphorically, and I think the dig you are making is downright outrageous.
No, it is
please
not.
Please don't make these kind of
this
remarks.
This is not metaphorical.
What does this mean? You have the right to kill people,
anyone,
and the government shouldn't. The government shouldn't take action.
Can I ask what Mr. Qureshi
is trying to say is,
Mr. Qureshi make his point.
You set a fast track courts and finish all those people who are there on the streets killing people.
Those are good suggestions.
Let me explain what I meant.
Can Dr. Qureshi please finish his point? He's been the most patient.
One, I wanted agreement that every lyncher should be hanged irrespective of his religion. Listen to me. Let me complete.
Yes, Mr.
When I say 1 month, it is metaphorical. My point is, it should be done speedily. But hanging irrespective of who he is, irrespective of religion, political class, or whatever, the offense is equal, they should be hanged as quickly as possible.
All right, fast track justice. Quick last comment.
As the only person who actually goes to court and knows why these cases are not proceeding, because 6 months later, Akhlaq, Pehlu, Junaid will all be closed. They will be closed because one will be turned into a ticket dispute. That's what Junaid's case is today. Harpur is turned into motorcycle road rage.
That despite is what the investigation is saying.
No, that she is investigation, investigation is done in a certain
you know
way.
How our justice
no, Junaid was a train ticket dispute.
The police is going to exonerate them. Yes. The evidence is on record.
Everyone is
the courts are trying to deal
Vrinda
with these cases.
Is only
cases.
Right. Everybody
these
else
trials.
Is wrong.
These trials.
Everyone is orchestrated.
The case everything is before the Supreme Court of India.
You're saying all lynchings are orchestrated?
No, no
but the way she's stating that the police
Supreme
is wrong.
The Supreme Court of India has said, if I want to say this on record, I will put your affidavit in the Harper petition before the court. The Supreme Court of India has said that these cases, the way it was investigated, there seems to be something amiss. That it was the chief's court. Let it go to a superior police officer. If they think this is orchestrated, I am not going to say anything more. The court is finding reason to issue guidelines. Why are those guidelines? What does the guideline say? The police should be criminal proceedings against those police officers. The Chief Justice of India issued those guidelines. Read them.
No,
the
that's reason fine. Why nobody disagrees
okay,
with
I have
them.
To leave
what
there.
Is
no,
happening
I'll
in
give
now?
You one example.
Yeah, law is taking its course.
Nidhi, one example.
Course, yes. The law will not take
one example. One example.
I have just 10 seconds, sir.
One example. You know, BBC reported about a Chhapra incident. And they said Muslims are not being allowed because of the Muslim being killed. There were three people killed, two Hindus. This is how fake news is spread. They just cut out those two people who were Hindus. And that is where the problem arises. These people play in the hands of foreign media.
The BBC is doing that. Yeah,
yes, they play in the hands of foreign media, and they demean the nation's name, and they bring down the nation's image also.
Why would the nation's name? Every lynching
demeans the nation's name. This is a feedback they get from these people, and that is what the fake news BBC
spread. You
probably
feed off BBC, not us.
All right.
Every lynching demeans the nation, and I hope that's what you believe in.
Well, as was pointed out repeatedly on the course of this show, there is now a group of ministers under Amit Shah that has been set up to look at this issue of lynching. Will it lead to anything? That's anyone's guess. Will the lynching stop? That's also anyone's guess, because the reports of people being harassed to chant Jai Shri Ram haven't stopped. And that's something that should concern all of us as right-thinking Indians. Thanks for joining us.